观众朋友您好，欢迎您收看明慧焦点节目。今年2月14日，有60多位西方法轮功学员来到北京天安门广场，展开法轮大法的横幅，并且呼喊法轮大法好。外国人到中国去向中国政府请愿，这样的事情在中国历史上是绝无仅有的。那么他们为什么要去天安门广场呢？他们去的目的又是何在呢？在今后几天的节目时间里，我们将陆续邀请这些西方法轮功学员来到我们的演播室，向我们讲一讲他们到底是怎么想的。那么今天呢，我们有幸邀请到了加州洛杉矶的学员 Gina Sanchez 来跟我们共同谈一谈他在北京的经历。 Hello Gina.
Hi.
Can you tell me how did you learn about 法轮大法?
Yeah, I was studying Chinese medicineAnd I was looking for a practice that I could do for many, many years, because in acupuncture or in any body work, it kind of drains a person. So Qigong or Tai Chi can replenish your energy. And it's important to find a really good practice. So I looked on the internet and I was just looking for the best one I could find. And I found Falun Dafa's website and I saw the book on the internet. I started reading it.And it actually quenched my thirst, not only for a really good Qigong practice, but also for, I was looking for a system to attain enlightenment. Mm-hmm. And this system offers both. So right away I started practicing.
So, and after practicing Falun Gong, what do you feel about it? Because when you just read a book and after you really get into it, what do you experience?
Well, physically, I haven't been sick since I started practicing. Mm-hmm. I've practiced over 3 years. And mentally, I've been able to achieve the equilibrium and the mental control that I've always wanted, that I knew enlightenment would give a person. In Chinese medicine, we know that too much anger damages the liver, too much sadness damages the lungs, mm. too much fear damages the kidneys, too much happiness damages the heart.
Okay.
It goes on and on. And I knew that if a person could control their emotions, they would be healthier. And Falun Dafa teaches people to practice truth, compassion, and forbearance. And part of forbearance is tempering one's emotions mm-hmm. and desires. And in 3 years, I'm in a position now that I never thought I would be in. It's actually surpassed my expectations.
Okay, so how did you learn about the persecution of Falun Dafa in China?
I was practicing before it started.
Okay.
So I've been trying to help out ever since it started.
And is that the reason why you go to China?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you try to do?
There were a couple objectives. One objective was to communicate with the police, mm-hmm. let them really understand the lies,let them understand the truth of Falun Gong, so that they know clearly what they're doing. Because if they're performing these acts of persecution based on the lies they have, then, you know, they can sort of justify it. But if we tell them clearly Falun Dafa is good, it's, you know, explain all the facts of Falun Gong, and if they continue to beat people, and if they continue to jail them, etc., then they know full well, what they're doing, and in the future when the persecution will end, they're going to be held accountable. So it was partly for the police, mm-hmm. and also it was for the public. It was for the Chinese public who was going to see us, let them know that Westerners practice this, let them know how ridiculous it is to beat people for holding your hands like this, or for saying Falun Dafa how, or for even having a banner just in your pocket. People were getting beaten for having a bannerin their pocket and not even having it out. So the public can see how cruel the government is for having this kind of policy. Actually, from what I know, they go into like corporations and schools and they make everybody in the school and corporation sign against Falun Gong. People who never heard of Falun Gong have to learn about it and speak against it. So if every single person in the country turns against Jen Shan Ren, what does that mean for our whole world? And of course, the other reason was,to let our governments and our media know just how bad the persecution is, because unless it's one of their citizens who gets beaten or abused, they don't care as much as if it's just a Chinese citizen.
Right. Some people might think that Falun Gong is free of practicing here in U.S. Then why you feel it's important to go to China to tell those people that they should stop the persecution, because no one actually is affecting you of practicing Falun Gong?
Well, one of the foundational teachings of Falun Gong is to always think of others before you think of yourself,
mm-hmm.
and to be selfless and altruistic and compassionate. So if people are being killed, if an 8-month-old baby was killed because his mother practices, if teenagers are being tortured in jails, you know, and of course the elderly and regular people, I mean, if little kids are being tortured, we have a duty to protect them. We have a duty to speak out on their behalf. It doesn't matter. I mean, Falun Dafa, it is not about being selfish. It's about being selfless. So if people are in need, if they're being persecuted and they're innocent, then that's where our cultivation teaches us to go in and help such people. And the fact also is that we practice the same system.
Mm-hmm.
If I happened to be born in China, I would be facing that.
And after the incident happened, the Chinese media was claiming that this Falun Gong practitioner were broken Chinese law and they were interfere the Chinese holidays. So how do you feel about this?
As far as dampening their holidays, that is so ridiculous. People went into the square with banners in their pockets, going like this, having a banner. That's so peaceful. It was the police who forcefully beat them down, who kicked them, who were running across the square with their vans. You gotta watch out for those vans, they might run over you. I mean, it's the vans and the police with their batons and their boots that are disrupting the peace, not practitioners who are walking around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were a lot of people who were beaten to the ground for no reason. They didn't even have the banners out. Just because they were near a Falun Gong practitioner, the police just knew they were one, and they were beating them right there without having done anything. So that is just a total joke. And as far as breaking Chinese laws, I don't know who believes that, because the Chinese Constitution protects Falun Dafa, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights protects what Falun Dafa is. And it's only that Jiang Zemin, the president of China, has retroactively created laws to persecute Falun Dafa. I mean, those laws are brand new. The Constitution protects us. And the thing is that people have compared banning Falun Dafa to like banning breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's these exercises. People have shielded themselves from the sunlight and have gotten beaten just from shielding themselves from the sunlight because they thought they were going to practice Falun Gong. I mean, we sat down on the square with our legs crossed, not lotus, but just they crossed. And already there was a crowd forming around us thinking we were going to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should be a right to sit on the ground with your legs crossed.
So what's your experience there in Beijing?
Well, we got to the square on Thursday about 1:35. And then about a little after 2, Mark Gardner with the black eye and I, mm-hmm. we went out and he held the banner up and I just went like this. And I said, Falun Dafa Hao. And I said it repeatedly, and then pretty soon they caught my hands behind my back, and then they started shoving me to a police van, and I was calling Falun Dafa Hao the whole way there, and I was doing it loudly so the whole people around me, they were all staring at me, they knew what we were there for.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to the van, they threw me into the van, and I landed, I mean there was a man on the bottom of the floor of the van, they threw me on top of him, and I had to like be very quick on my feet so I wouldn't like hit my head or hit him somewhere. So I was maneuvering and they were like kicking us around. One guy had his foot on my back,
mm-hmm.
and I just knew that if I didn't scare them, that they were going to do something worse. So I started screaming and eventually they stopped. Because when I was screaming, I'm sure people outside in the square heard me and I'm sure they felt self-conscious. And I think that it's fine to scream because I mean, the police will feel scared in front of the bystanders if they hear someone screaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they should know it's very uncomfortable under there. Of course, yeah.
It wasn't that I was scared. I was just trying to make them say, "You guys, what are you doing?
You cannot do it."
You know,
yeah.
And they were going to do something really painful to me. I know. Anyway, we got to the police station, and people were singing Falun Dafa How. And as many people have already noticed, a lot of the police were young. They were like 18 years old. They were like, they had these baby faces.
Okay.
And we don't know how young they were, but we were singing Falun Dafa How, and I saw so many smiles on their faces. But once we were in the station, we just sat and meditated, and I noticed that over the long time we were there, when they saw us meditate, they were actually very impressed. I saw a lot of police, they admired us. I could see it in their faces that we sat in the lotus for a long time. They probably don't see that very often.
Right.
And we were all very serene, you know, we held our hands up. People were singing Falun Dafa How, and, you know, the police liked that atmosphere, this atmosphere of forbearance, this atmosphere of compassion, this great focus we have in meditating. I felt glad that I was there educating them that we're good people, we're actually people they admire, and giving them a taste that people are like this all over the world, not just in China.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the practice gives people, regardless of what culture they are.
Right.
One of the things, I asked them, you know, are you against Falun Dafa? And they said, well, one of the police officers said, well, I'm not for Dafa or I'm not against it, but I do think it's bad because it causes people to die.
Mm.
It makes them commit suicide.
Right.
And right there, I was trying to explain, look, this is a mind and body practice. If you cannot get the mind aspect down, you're not a practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we are against suicide. We are against murder. If someone commits suicide or murder, they're not a practitioner. Therefore,
mm-hmm.
anyone who's committed suicide or murder cannot be considered a practitioner. And she says, well, maybe in your country,
mm-hmm.
but in our country, they really do commit suicide.
Okay.
And
so
let's use logic. It's antithetical to the practice to kill or to commit suicide. Therefore, it's impossible for a true person to ever do this, true practitioner to ever do this. And eventually, they stopped saying that because they saw how ridiculous it is. All I know is that I was dealing with people who were really not against Falun Dafa. I mean, they had propaganda that they were spewing forth, but in their hearts, they had not made a decision. They were just following orders. But by us going there and by us showing them that we're good people, what's the likelihood of them actually beating people from now on? Those police we met, I mean, chances of them beating people from now on is very unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm glad,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I know that those people have a different mind now.
Thank you. 观众朋友，听了 Gina 的故事之后，我不知道您作何感想呢？这些修炼真善忍的西方法轮功学员，他们为了中国人民，为了向他们讲清真相，冒着被打、被关的危险而跑到北京去。那么您呢？